This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's time for Overtime. Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen, and Sterling Bennett with analysis, sound from the locker room, and your reaction to the game. When the clock hits zero, we bring you Overtime. Take it away, boys.
Oh, that was rough. Welcome into Overtime here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Grandy, Sterling Bennett, Kyle Madsen with you. The 49ers just scored a touchdown to make it a 10-point game. They went for two. By the way, they should have went for two earlier in the game. They didn't do it that time. They do this time. They don't get it. They're down by 10, kicking the ball back off to the Chiefs. They'll try to go onside, but still down by two scores with a minute left. This game is all but over in Santa Clara. The Chiefs come in to Levi's Stadium. They will beat the 49ers. They'll improve to 6-0. The 49ers once again are back below 500 at 3-4 on the 2024 season. Guys, it was an ugly game. There's major injury concerns for the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk left the game at halftime with a right knee injury. Did not look good. We will hear from Kyle Shanahan in a little bit, I'm sure. Deebo Samuel left the game with an illness, and he wasn't effective in the first half even when he was really playing. Didn't play that many snaps. You were already without Juwan Jennings. Of course, no Christian McCaffrey. Brock Purdy threw three interceptions, all of them on the Kansas City side of the 50, and that might have been the worst onside kick attempt by Mitch Wisnowski as well. It doesn't even go 5 yards. That perfectly encapsulates what this game was for the 49ers. Guys, welcome in Kyle and Sterling. My name is Mark with you. 28-18 will be the final. Kansas City knocks off the 49ers.
They're just better, dude. That's just a better team. They're not more talented, but they do everything right. And when they do make a mistake on either side of the ball, they do everything right on the other side of the ball to kind of make up for it. We talk about complementary football all the time with the 49ers. There's not a better team in the NFL at that than the Kansas City Chiefs. So you have a Niners team that we've talked about it on various overtimes this year, the kind of mistakes that they make that lead to their losses. And when you make a mistake or you have a miscue against the Chiefs, they are going to make you pay for it 100% of the time. That's what we saw today.
This sucks. The Niners watched a team that we consider a Super Bowl favorite, walked into their home, they got in their bed, slept in their bed, and was like, wow, this is our home now. San Francisco looked terrible today. Brock Purdy throws three interceptions, one in the red zone. I don't care if it was Ronnie Bell's fault or not. Get him out of here as well. San Francisco's offense was choked out by Steve Spagnuolo's defense again. All day long. I get no Deebo, and Brandon Ayuk is out, and no Christian McCaffrey. I'm sorry. Do you not still have Kyle Shanahan? Do you not have Brock Purdy, who was an MVP favorite last year? And did you not have a quarterback this year in Brock Purdy that was playing his best football? Do you not have George Kittle and the second leading rusher in football? I'm sorry. All the good vibes that were practiced this week went out the door as soon as the ball was kicked off. I get it, it's Kansas City. But this was an assessment game for San Francisco. Just how good are you? Did you really get right against the Seahawks? Oh, first place. Now you're back in second place. And if you're lucky, you're going to be in third place if the Cardinals win tomorrow. It was a terrible, terrible game for San Francisco. The defense was good enough to win. The offense did not come to play for one single snap. Terrible.
Yeah, it was ugly, and it is officially a final. Final score at Levi's Stadium, Kansas City, the Chiefs. They are winners 28-18 was the final score. You guys hit the nail on the head. I mean, it was not smooth from the beginning. The 49ers scored first, but it was more offensive woes early in this game. There were some red zone issues. I mean, the Niners, through their first five drives on offense, had two first downs, and one of them was via a penalty by Kansas City. The Niners, through five drives, had one first down of their own doing. Like, that's how ugly it was in this one. And if it wasn't for the Niners' defense giving them the ball in good field position spots, they wouldn't have scored any points, really, in the first half. They ultimately go down, get on the doorstep of the end zone just before halftime, end up kicking a field goal there, only down eight somehow. I mean, guys, if it wasn't for the defense, I think this is what you're getting at, Sterling, if it was not for the defense and how well they played and forcing turnovers themselves, I mean, Patrick Mahomes did not throw for a touchdown, threw for 154 yards, completed a little over 50% of his passes, and turned the ball over twice. Two interceptions. If it wasn't for the defense stepping up, the Niners could have lost this game by like 25 points. That's how this game felt. The fact that it was a one-possession game for the majority of the second half, honestly, amazing. It was a miracle. It's like a game of basketball where you feel like you're playing from behind, you're down by 20, you put together one nice stretch of play, and suddenly you're only down 12 at half, and you're thinking, man, we've been outplayed by a mile, but we're in this thing. That's what it felt like for the 49ers, but they never really got into any sort of rhythm, and then their three turnovers were their undoing. There was also more special teams woes, A long punt return by Mecole Hardman that set the Chiefs up on the doorstep of scoring as well. We could find issues with a number of different areas in this Niner game, and through 7 weeks, that just might be the story of the Niners season. You can find issues all over the place, and today was no different.
It felt like the wheels came off early, where we talked all week about how the Chiefs have ownership over the Niners, and Shanahan's 0-4, and the two Super Bowls, and this and that, and the Niners get that stop on the fake punt.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that you look at it and you go, oh, watch out. Like, here come the Niners. They get the stop. I would have bet $1 million that I don't have $1 million. I'd have bet my house that if you had told me, hey, the Chiefs are gonna have a 4th-and-1 from their own, what was it, their own 40? Own 45? Chiefs are gonna have a 4th-and-1 from their own 40, and they're gonna fake punt. Like, oh, that's a first down.
Yeah, they're getting that.
They're getting that. And then they don't. You go, oh, this might go a little different. And then bam, interception. And it's the next play.
Yeah.
And it's that Jeff Schwartz said to Willard and Dibbs, there's that like over preparation when a team has beat you that many times. There are so many things that you're trying to do. You're trying to not make a mistake, and you're trying to overcompensate. And that's what it felt like Brock was doing today. I thought Brock Purdy was terrible. And I thought it was because it started on that throw. There was no window there. That wasn't, oh man, the Chiefs really disguised that coverage or whatever it is. But he just was trying to throw to windows that weren't there all game. And maybe it's something Spags did with the Chiefs defense. To me, it looked like a 49ers quarterback trying to make too many plays and trying to overcompensate when they really didn't need to.
We tricked ourselves, or the fans did, that this game was going to be different. Ricky Pearsall's back. Debo's healthy. It seemed that way before the game started, and he wasn't actually sick. Ayuk is healthy. He kind of got right a couple weeks ago, and this one's going to be different. We may actually beat Kansas City this time. And back to Kyle's point, that fake punt that San Francisco special teams, which is still one of the worst in football, They get the stop. You go, huh, maybe it might be different after all. This is a great opportunity for San Francisco to score a touchdown, put the Chiefs on their heels. Then, like Kyle said, the Brock interception. Brock Purdy was locking on to targets, his first read all day. He was throwing into non-existent windows. He was underthrowing passes. I get it. It's a deep ball. That Cowan catch and that Kittle deep ball, if he throws those in stride, which it's much harder to do than I'm saying it is, I'm the starting quarterback in the NFL, those are touchdown passes if those are leading his receivers downfield. We're talking San Francisco maybe leading late in this game and Kansas City driving to maybe win. That's the difference of a Mahomes and the Niners team currently. The Chiefs make the right play at the right time every single opportunity they have, whether it's defense, offense, special teams, it doesn't matter. They are over-prepared to a point of they are so calm when the moment comes, they're ready for it. And this dates back to last year's Super Bowl, four go in 2019. It doesn't matter. Whenever San Francisco plays Kansas City, they shrivel up and the moment's too big for them. Yep. There is no space in my mind where with Kyle Shanahan at the helm, I ever think San Francisco is going to beat Kansas City. Like, it's just never going to happen. They are terrible against KC. They were terrible today. In Shanahan's offense, he needs to go to Spagnuolo and start calling him daddy. That's how bad this was. It was terrible on almost every single down.
Okay, let's be fair about the offense. You guys are right. I mean, it was a disgusting performance today. The offense was flat out bad. Going into the game, you're without McCaffrey, of course. You're without Juwan Jennings. You find out in game, or you found out earlier, but you know, you game plan forward all week that you were going to have Deebo Samuel. He comes down with an illness. The Fox crew saying he came down with the illness during warmups. He probably, you know, was feeling it leading into the game. They had a little bit of a better idea, probably. Yeah. But he plays a little bit in the first half. He finishes with what? How many touches did he even touch the ball at all?
No,
he did not touch the ball at all.
Three snaps.
Yeah, no touches. And then he does not play the entire second half, not even a snap in the second half. So essentially no Deebo for the entire game as well. And then just before the half, on one of his nicer moments of the season, a really nice catch over the middle, Ayuk, right knee buckles, and he does not play the entire second half. And I'm keeping an eye out right now. Kyle Shanahan about to address the media, and I'm sure the first question that he will be asked is an update on Brandon Ayuk. It did not look pretty. I don't know what you guys are all expecting. I'm kind of preparing for the worst, because it did not look good for Brandon Ayuk's right knee. To be fair to the offense, you're without McCaffrey. Sure. You're without Deebo. Sure. You're without Ayuk. You're without Juwan Jennings. I'm not saying it excuses this poor performance, but this is also an offense that was running out there with Ricky Pearsall, who had made his NFL debut tonight. Maybe the loudest roar from the Niners fans at Levi's was when he made his first catch. Also out there consistently in the second half. Jacob Cowing, also out there consistently in the second half, is Chris Conley. Ronnie Bell out there. Like, this was a skeleton crew.
Yeah.
Of weapons offensively for the 49ers in the second half. That does not excuse anything, but it does, I think, impact how I view the way the offense played. It was bad, but you're also doing it with those weapons against this defense. That's not going to be easy no matter who the quarterback is.
Yeah, I'm with you for the most part. It was bad before Ayuk went down, though.
True.
But on the other hand, to your point, it looked like they started to figure some things out there in the second half. And that's what I find a little bit frustrating about this is Ayuk goes down and the 49ers got so much more creative offensively. They got so much more creative with what they're doing with their run game. That first rushing touchdown that Purdy had where they pulled the two guards and then he keeps it behind Jake Brendel.
Coolest quarterback sneak I've ever seen.
Brilliant. And then they're doing all this stuff with different motion to get Jordan Mason going against the grain and it's all working. It's like, where was this 30 minutes ago? Where was this when this was meaningful? Because you had wide receivers on the field who could separate a little bit. But by the time I told Mark here in the studio, it felt in the second half a lot like the NFC title game against the Eagles, where, okay, nice run, but they can't throw it. I didn't think they could meaningfully throw the ball and complete enough passes down the stretch to win that game. And maybe if you have one of Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel out there, you can concoct enough offense to win it. But I still just I think it starts at the quarterback. He wasn't good today. Yep. And it was just exacerbated by what you're talking about is the lack of offensive weapons. But Sterling, I don't know about you. I'm not sure how much it would have really mattered.
I don't think it would have mattered at all, to be honest with you. Ricky Pearsall's back out there. Great. Story's incredible. He looked good at the end of the game, which maybe that matters. Maybe it doesn't to some. I do not want to see Ronnie Bell take another snap for this team. I just can't. How many times does he have to cost this team on certain plays? Drop passes against the Rams. Probably would have won you that one. Miscommunication today cost you a pick. Does it cost you the game? Maybe not, but it's just the continual issues, and I get you have to play with what you have, and what they had was it's bare bones. It was guys that had never played before and rookies that have not even had their first catch in the NFL like Cowing did until today. But I don't think it would have mattered. I don't think if Deebo, I don't even think if Christian McCaffrey was healthy, they would have won this game. That's how bad I think Kyle Shanahan got outcoached. And we've talked all year long about how, you know, once they get CMC back and Pearsall's back, and if they can just get healthy, You are under 500. You are 3-4. This, like, it's not just, oh, you lost to KC, they're a good team. No, you played so bad early, a loss like this, while it's not catastrophic, it is season-altering. Now you have to beat Dallas next week to hopefully go into the bye week at 500 for a team you want to claim to be a Super Bowl contender. There ain't no way in hell I would consider the 2024 San Francisco 49ers a Super Bowl contender. If Brock Purdy's going to play his worst ball against the best opponent he's played all year long, the running game just did not work until that fourth, maybe late third quarter. It was terrible all day. And that Shanahan's bread and butter, everything San Francisco's offense tried to do was stopped almost on every single play by Steve Spagnuolo. Like, is this guy a genius? I think so, but my goodness, this is the biggest game of the year. You want to prove you're a contender, beat the Chiefs. You watch the Lions go into Minnesota and beat those guys earlier today. Why can't San Francisco defend their own home court and beat the undefeated?
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are better. They're less talented by far, in my opinion, besides a quarterback and defensive line, maybe. It's just continual out-coaching every single time these two teams link up.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned maybe the difference in talent in favor of Kansas City at one spot. It's at quarterback, but let's also not pretend that this is just a Mahomes masterclass. Mahomes was
he threw two picks.
Yeah, he was. I mean, 16 for 27, 154, no touchdowns, two interceptions, and you lose by 10 points.
Had the backbreaking 33-yard scramble.
An incredible run. He gets around. He gets around Fred Warner. D. Winters over pursues. Mahomes gives him a little stutter step. He flies by him, runs down the sideline for 33 yards. It was one of the more incredible Patrick Mahomes runs that I've ever seen, and there's a number of them. It's just what he does. But Mahomes was not great for the majority of this football game. You still give up nearly 30 points, 28-18. Not that the defense was the issue, but despite that, you could understand it maybe if Mahomes goes out and he shrugs off his slow start to the season, and he just comes out, throws for 350, three tuds, doesn't turn the ball over, and you get outclassed by the best football player on the planet. Okay, that's understandable, but no, he was largely bad in this game. Turned the ball over twice. Did not throw a single touchdown. On the year now, 6 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, yet the Chiefs are 6-0. It's what you guys are getting at. What the Chiefs have excelled at and what they have absolutely mastered is one of the most important skills in the NFL. It is winning when you're not playing your best football. Mm-hmm. It is finding ways to win ugly. They are the best at it, bar none. They've played 6 games. How many of those games have been a complete 60 minutes for them? Like, almost none of them. Like, yeah, they've been bad on offense for the majority of the season, yet you look at it, they're 6-0. I've seen all these tweets. The Chiefs got to be the fakest 6-0 team in the NFL. That 6-0 is real, because you win ugly, that's the kind of games that you get in the postseason. The Niners, meanwhile, when they play ugly, when they don't play up to their best, they always find a way to lose those games, and today wasn't just them not playing their best, it was playing darn near their worst.
Yeah, on top of that, I think the 49ers in particular have a problem with the Steve Spagnuolo Chiefs defense.
No doubt.
Because so much of what they do is just man coverage, right? We heard that all today on the broadcast. It's man coverage, and they run this much man, and this is what they do. That's man. And the Niners don't have a bunch of dudes that can separate. There's a problem in the Super Bowl, too. Debo had, what, like 13 targets in the Super Bowl and 3 catches? Because he just can't get away from the Chiefs' corners. And one of them went down. I forget his name, but number 13 came in for the Chiefs. And the Niners immediately start picking on him.
That was the cowing long reception. That could have been a touchdown, to Sterling's point, if Purdy puts air underneath it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they start picking on that guy. And it's like, okay, this is great. But Shanahan is not, he's not a like passing game designer. That's not his bag. And I think when you combine that with a receiving core that is not great at creating separation, especially with Brandon Ayuk out, you're just going to kind of run into this. They can sell out to stop the run, which they did all day, because they don't have to worry about anything happening in the passing game, except with George Kittle, apparently. And I think that's why this is going to continue to be a trend. And I don't see the Niners beating this version of the Chiefs until they have some guys who can separate from man coverage and force the Chiefs to do something different.
During the offseason, Kyle Shanahan, the way he sold not improving the offensive line, outside of Dominic Poon, he was, we'll get some weapons. Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing. Okay, cool. You got your weapons, right? You drafted guys in case Debo or Ayuk or the stars you're paying get hurt. Oh, they can come in and replace them or, you know, help you out in case someone's not going to play for a week or two. But when they've had those guys healthy, and I get no Christian McCaffrey, but he hasn't played all year long, so the adjustment period, time, the grace is over with. Mm-hmm. You got to win with what you got.
Yep.
Against the Cardinals, the defense continually stops the Cardinals' offense, and the last drive of the game against the Cardinals, defense gets a stop, Cardinals kick the field goal, the offense throws a pick. Defense did their job. Against Seattle, the offense, okay, it's better, he scored 30 points, but late in that game, it takes a Renardo Green interception to put the offense near the red zone to score a game-winning touchdown. In this game, the defense continually picks up the offensive slack. I get Ayuk gets injured, Debo doesn't play, but how many times this year do we have to watch Kyle Shanahan's offense? For whatever reason why, whether it is because CMC's out or because Purdy isn't playing his best game like in this one, we have seen this defense, despite a rookie defensive coordinator, despite no Javon Hargrave, despite a terrible Devondre Campbell, and a hodgepodge of safeties back there, whether it's Odom, Mustafa Ufunga, they continually, in the last 3 weeks, have made plays to pick up the offense. And the offense never has an answer outside of one drive against the Seattle Seahawks last week. The offense is not doing their job on a continual basis, despite how loaded they are. They're bad on third downs. They're terrible in the red zone. At what point do we say, Nick Sorensen, clap it up, brother. Your defense did its job holding Mahomes to under 200 yards, getting two takeaways. Brian Schneider, terrible punt coverage, but you get the fake punt block. Great. Man, you do your job for part of the game, and the offense continually falls short. Kyle, after the Cardinals game, we talked about that this is on Kyle Shanahan. This game in itself, the offense, Kyle Shanahan's unit, did not do their job. Borderline for the third consecutive week when it mattered most.
Yeah, and also, when you have all those offensive weapons or all those offensive issues, you have to capitalize on the few opportunities that you do get. And coming into this game, this was, especially once you found out that Debo Samuel battling an illness, and you could tell in that first half that he wasn't going to be much of a factor, even if he, quote-unquote, played snaps, even though he was never touching the ball. This was going to be a moment for Ayuk to step up. I mean, you're getting paid $30 million a year, buddy. You're going to have to step up. Down Juwan already. Debo Samuel is extremely limited. Of course, still no Christian McCaffrey. And we know what happened to Ayuk just before halftime. He suffered a knee injury. Doesn't look great. We'll get an update from Kyle Shanahan shortly, and we will give you that update. Don't have anything on it just yet. But Ayuk dropped what would have been potentially a touchdown, a long touchdown catch in the first half as well. Would have made it 10-7 Niners in the second quarter. Might have changed the game. That was probably Purdy's best throw of the day. It goes out as an incompletion because Ayuk maybe lost it in the sun, took his eye off it. I don't know. But he dropped that one, and it's sad that it comes down to like one play, make or miss. You got to make this play, otherwise it's a bad day or whatever the case is. That was one where if you're Brandon Ayuk, you're down all these other weapons, you got to step up and make that play, and he couldn't squeeze it.
Kyle Shanahan, speaking with reporters now, said that they're worried about an ACL with Ayuk. Nothing confirmed yet. But given the nature of the injury and how quickly he was ruled out.
Not surprised.
Yeah, not great. So nothing confirmed yet, but the 49ers, according to Kyle Shanahan, worried that it is an ACL injury for Brandon Ayuk.
Which, now it's not going to get any easier. CMC is not coming back. It seems like for the next 2 or 3 weeks after the bye week, fingers crossed. Juwan Jennings is hopefully back next week. I get Debo will hopefully not be sick against the Dallas Cowboys as well next week. And Ricky Pearsall made his debut, but the hope was, you're not asking Ricky Pearsall to replace one of your guys like Brandon Ayuk. You want to combine those two players and have two receivers that can separate alongside Juwan Jennings on third downs as your number two tight end, your big slot receiver, if you will. Then you have Debo, the gadget guy, the star. Your offense is now down two of your main stars, your all-pro receiver and the reigning offensive player of the year. And for as bad as the offense has played this year, why should I have any hope things are going to change?
Yeah.
In fact, they're probably going to get worse. And the Dallas Cowboys, they have their backs against the wall, and I get it. It's 1 week time. We have no idea what next week looks like. We're on Sunday today, but it's like the hope of, well, it'll get better soon. No, it's like this thing might get a lot worse before it gets better at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it might. So final score in Santa Clara. Niners fall to the Chiefs 28-18. It's overtime here on 95.7 The Game. Kyle Shanahan speaking post-game as we speak right now, saying, quote, the Niners fear that Brandon Ayuk could have suffered a torn ACL. We'll, of course, know more tomorrow and as the week goes along. So keep it locked here on 95.7 The Game. But let's go out to the phone lines. A lot of you want to join the conversation. We'll go to you. If you hang out on hold, stick with us. We will get you on the air here on overtime this evening on 95.7 The Game. Up first is Richard in Milpitas. Richard, what's up? You're on overtime on 95.7 The Game. How you doing, Richard?
The I call the cheap shots between the two teams. You know, one punching the 49ers, the other guy punching back. Instead of punching back, he should just kind of look at him and say, oh, that was nice, instead of hitting him. And then that guy could have gotten kicked out of the game. But, you know, let the other team instigate you is not very, what's the word for it, not helpful to the team because they needed you out there. The other thing about the running backs that I noticed the most, the part that they're rookies, and they weren't being aggressive enough in their run, start the run. They stopped there. They gave the other team a chance to hit them. But if they just ran through it a little bit, they would have gotten 3-4 yards. So that's my hint for the game is those receivers, but not the running backs, need to be a little more aggressive and attack those players in front of them a little bit.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Richard. I mean, this is also a Chiefs defense that I think specifically in the second half, guys, was just selling out to stop the run. It's something you were talking about, Kyle. I mean, when the Niners are down Ayuk, yeah. Debo, Juwan, Kittle's really the only reliable pass catcher out there, and they have Trent McDuffie. They have great cornerbacks. They have great defensive backs. You can shut one guy down, and then you sell it to stop the run. It makes it really difficult, and even with that, they were getting some chunks in the third quarter on the ground.
At one point, they said on the broadcast that the 49ers were getting hit in the backfield on 75% of their runs. You just can't. There's no. I all due respect to the caller. There's no amount of running hard that's going to help that.
And let's also,
like they're stopping because they're trying to go around white jerseys in their face.
Let's also not ignore that Jordan Mason is one of the hardest runners in the NFL.
Yeah. And you notice they started getting loose when they started doing some misdirection stuff, putting guys in motion. Oh look, and then there's some holes started to open up, and hey, look at that magic. But they just got smoked, man. Like, I wish there was... That's kind of the bottom line for me. They just got beat down. And, you know, Sterling, you said earlier, like, they want to be a Super Bowl contender. And I think that's the right phrasing. They want to be that. They're not, though. They're not that right now. They have so many levels to get to before they reach that point. And I know their pedigree and where we saw them last year. And, oh, they've been 3-5 before, and they made it to the NFC title game. Okay, that's all great. But that's not sustainable. That's not a thing that you can just bank on. And they played a team that is a bona fide Super Bowl contender today, and they got outclassed. That's what I got.
They got punched in the mouth.
Repeatedly, like, a lot of times.
Literally, Trent Williams as well. But the offensive line, I thought, was just being beat up all day long. Mm. That was the matchup you look for. Okay, how is Kyle Shanahan's run game going to work against Steve Spagnuolo's run defense? We know the Chiefs have held, outside of week one, every running back under 100 yards, if not 50 yards. I think Mason was the first running back since Derrick Henry week one against the Ravens that 50-plus yards on the ground against this Chiefs run defense. Okay, so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, this has to be the Purdy game. If they're going to win this one, they have to be able to separate with their receivers and be able to beat the Chiefs with their quarterback. And it's just me. Maybe I'm wrong here, but why would you not want to spread the Chiefs out? Get 4 wide, get 5 wide. Everything was, you know, bunched up together. And that first few drives, it was like the Chiefs know what's coming. They're ready to smack you in the mouth. And they did. And San Francisco's offense couldn't do anything. And, of course, Ayuk goes down. And then you get more creative. But The Chiefs just walked in here knowing they were a better team, mm-hmm. knowing they've already beaten San Francisco in the biggest stage of them all twice, knowing this year it's not going to be any different. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the vibes were in practice. Oh, they're feeling good. You know, everything is a positive atmosphere in Santa Clara today. The sun's out. Who cares? Sundays, when you go on the field, the Kansas City Chiefs, no matter who they're playing in, especially against San Francisco, know they have the upper hand in every single facet of the game. And today it showed. San Francisco, if you want to put a label on them, might be fake. They might be pretenders this year. And that's just the case.
Yeah, and I think also, like, what the Chiefs are doing is so impressive because I was the one who said it, the Niners' injuries and who you're without and all these key skill guys that aren't playing. And not that that's an excuse for the offense, but it's certainly a factor. I mean, look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They're dealing with the same thing. Down their starting running back. Down their top two receivers. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster now was wide receiver one. He didn't play basically the entire the second half and I think most of the second quarter as well. Obviously, we know about Rashee Rice, who's turning into a star receiver in the NFL. They haven't played with him for 3 weeks now, and he's likely out for the rest of the season. Like, this is also a Kansas City offense who only has their star tight end left, just like the Niners did for the second half of this game, and they put up 28 points, and it wasn't just the greatest quarterback of our generation going crazy. He was bad. They did it with their leading receiver being Noah Gray. Four mm-hmm. catches for 66 yards. Their leading rusher, Kareem Hunt, was on the couch 3 weeks ago. Like, this is an offense that's filled with nobodies other than Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and Kelce had four catches for 17 yards. Yeah. Now, most of his catches were big third down conversions in those big moments. He's great. The greatest, maybe, other than Gronk, receiving tight end in NFL history. He's awesome. I know that. The Niners did a good job on him, but still, this is the Kansas City offense who finds ways to get it done. We talk so much about Spagnuolo versus Shanahan, but we also got to acknowledge the fact that I know that there's Mahomes, and that is a big difference. But this is a Kansas City offense led by Andy Reid, their play caller, who is also consistently getting more out of an injured group than Kyle Shanahan is getting out of his injured group on the Niners side.
Yeah, Mahomes wasn't great today, but he made so many individually brilliant plays from the 33-yard scramble to the third down conversion where he's getting sacked and gets rid of it to, I think it was Noah Gray for a first down. Like, he just does all these little things that he can play so poorly and, oh, need this one? Okay, fine. They're going to get this third down. threw an interception last time out? That's okay. Here's a couple of third downs. Get this ship righted. And that's just kind of the difference. And that's why Patrick Mahomes is one of one in the sport right now, even though he's not playing great this year. Like, his numbers aren't very good, and his numbers, like you said, weren't good today. But he just continually finds ways to win or finds ways to come up with winning plays. And then you flip to the other side of the ball where the Chiefs defense is awesome. And it's been awesome for the better. They lost L'Jarius Sneed, and it just didn't matter. Like, they're just that good on that side of the ball that they can withstand this. And the 49ers, on the other hand, struggling defensively. They need their offense to be perfect, and they were not that today.
This was San Francisco's best chance to beat Patrick Mahomes for the first time.
Yep.
He walked into this one having the worst year of his career, worst touchdown percentage, highest interception percentage, worst yards per game, worst rating. He has not been this number one quarterback, the GOAT of this generation, if you will, walking into this game. He's been kind of subpar, but still making, you know, the big play when it matters most. And let's be honest here, DPI in Cincinnati, they probably lose that game. There's the Isaiah Likely 3-touchdown almost game against the Ravens in week one. The Chiefs have, I don't want to say gotten away with some, but they've been really close to losing some, but they eke these ones out because they're so good at making the right play at the right time. And when I saw Mahomes' stat line, I said, blood in the water, attack him. Get home, and it's harder than I'm making it sound like, but it's like, this is the opportunity to jump on Patrick Mahomes and get the dub. And San Francisco just laid down at a certain point offensively and said, you know what? We don't have any fight today. Whether it was Purdy being off his game, which probably his worst game since Christmas last year, they were just off in a game where you're like, this is your best chance to win. And that's never, ever going to get it done in the NFL.
Yeah, no, you're right. 28-18 is the final score. The Niners now 3-4. The Chiefs now 6-0. The Chiefs could very easily have a couple, if not three losses on their resume, but the difference is when they play those ugly kind of games, they find ways to win down the stretch, and that has what has cost the Niners in a majority of their losses. They're now 3-4. The Seahawks, as you mentioned earlier, Sterling, have won already today. They were in Atlanta. They got a nice win on the road, so they are now alone in first place in the NFC West ahead of the San Francisco 49ers. Okay, time for a break here on Overtime. When we come back, we got full phone lines. We're coming to you guys next. I see you, Joel and Paul and Mike and Joe and Michael and Rob. We're coming to you on the other side. We will also hear from Kyle Shanahan, who has said the Niners fear Brandon Ayuk tore his ACL. We will hear Kyle Shanahan's full postgame comments coming up a little bit later on as well. As we continue on Overtime, it's Kyle, Sterling, and Grandy with you. More OT next on 95.7 The Game.
Back to Overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett, with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Niners lose to Kansas City once again. That's the fifth straight loss for the 49ers to Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kyle Shanahan still has yet to beat Kansas City in his tenure as 49er head coach. This goes all the way back to the Jimmy Garoppolo era. Of course, you remember the first Super Bowl, but there was also the regular season loss, the 2018 season. That was the game that Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL, if you remember, and then that Niners season was doomed from that point on. Then the Super Bowl loss the following year. You had a regular season loss to the Chiefs at Levi's again 2 years ago. That was Christian McCaffrey's first game as a 49er, although he did not play a full complement of snaps. And then, of course, you know, the Super Bowl from 8 months ago. And then you have this regular season loss. Five straight losses for the 49ers to the Kansas City Chiefs. This one's final score 28-18. And guys, I'm not sure it was really that close. The Niners scored with a minute to go in the fourth quarter to cut it 2-10. They went for two to try to make it a one possession game. Did not get it. They were down 28-12. And really, even when they were down by one score, like at halftime when it was 14-6, it felt like they were down by more like three scores. And that was the way the offense felt in this game. They had one first down gained by like a completed pass or a run in their first five offensive drives. They had one other via penalty. It was a DPI against George Kittle. The offense was slow moving the entire game, and that's why I say a one score game felt more like a three score game, because even when the Niners had been moving the ball, their red zone inefficiency has been so stark. Today it was like tenfold, because they couldn't even get the ball in the red zone, and then even when they got in the red zone, they still had all the same issues they've had all season long.
It didn't feel like there was a way they were going to win this game where we were going, for all of the reasons you just listed and then some, where we were going to get on the air today and be like, wow, great win. It felt like it was going to be, okay, they snuck out of there. Okay, didn't play great, but man, hey, the Chiefs really made a couple of mistakes. Boy, Mahomes is really missing his receivers. It was going to be that kind of, there was after the first four drives, I did not think we were going to be walking in here going, the 49ers outplayed the Chiefs today. They were going to need mistakes. You said at some point, like halfway through the third quarter, you were like, hey, they might need a defensive touchdown if they're going to get back in this.
And they're sure as hell not going to get a special teams touchdown. So,
right, so maybe they can block a field goal and score. After the Mahomes 33-yard run that got him down right at the end of the third quarter, where they were going to go up 21-12. If they got a touchdown, because you're going, okay, maybe if they hold them to three here, it's 17, maybe you get a couple field goals, maybe you do punch one in, now you have the lead, but you make it a two-score game. I don't think the Niners are going to be able to score a touchdown and then either another touchdown or a field goal. I just didn't, I didn't feel like there was any point after, I guess it was after Purdy's interception. That was where I went, okay, they're just, if they win this, it's going to take a minor miracle.
Which one? The third one or second one?
The first one. Yeah, they get the stop on the fourth down, and then boom, give the ball back. Interception is just like, all right, here we go, one of those games. And the Chiefs just didn't make enough mistakes, or the 49ers didn't make them pay for their mistakes. Yeah.
Maybe outside of the 2018 game, it felt like San Francisco was like one play away from beating Kansas City, whether it was the Super Bowl in 2019 or even last year going to overtime. And even in the first half of that game in 2022 when Purdy played and CMC made his debut, that game was close at halftime. Hufanga got the pick early, and it felt like, okay, you know, maybe this is the time they get the win, and the wheels fell apart late, but this one just felt like no matter what San Francisco did, they were never going to find some consistency. And it's frustrating to still say that, yet have been really close throughout part of the fourth quarter and been like, man, like if that play goes away, if Purdy only throws two picks, like had Purdy not thrown that third interception and Mikivic doesn't get beat when the Chiefs only rush three, like how do you get home when you got five blockers and they only rush in three? I digress. Just a continual issue right side of the offensive line for San Francisco. But if Purdy only throws that second pick, not the third one, and they score a touchdown, it's like, man, like this game's pretty close. But this one just felt like you're pulling tooth and nail to get every single yard. And it's been a far too common story for San Francisco's offense this year. But this one in particular just felt like every play was a, I hope it isn't an interception, I hope it isn't a fumble, can they get some positive yardage? And once again, KC just finds a way to just, at the end of the day, take it to San Francisco in every single facet.
Yeah, and I'm with you guys. This was more of an offensive struggle than the defense's issue in this game. But let's not pretend that there weren't also some defensive miscues in this game. Kansas City's first touchdown drive, it happened in the second quarter. They pitched a shutout in the first quarter. Kansas City scores early in the second quarter. But do you remember how that drive ended? And how they even got in position to score? Nick Bosa lines up offside, doesn't jump offsides, doesn't try to time the snap and jumps early, lines up offsides on second and 10. Yeah, he D-forwarded it. He lines up offside on second and 10, takes away D. Winter's best play as a pro, where he snuffed out a screen for a loss of 3 yards, made an awesome tackle, would have been third and 13. Instead, it's second and 5. And then guess what happens? Givens jumps early. He's offside. Then you have 12 men on the field from the goal line. They turn all of that into a touchdown. They take the lead. The Niners would trail the rest of the game. I'm not saying all that to say that this was the defense's worst game in a long time. The defense was fine. I mean, Mahomes didn't throw for a touchdown. They picked him off twice. Hard to ask the defense to do much more, but the, I don't know, for lack of a better term, the mental mistakes, the brain farts, we talk about it on offense. It was also there on defense. And man, Nick Bosa lining up offside. I don't know how that happens as often as it does. And Bosa was good for the most part today. Had a sack, had multiple pressures as well. I think his pressure led to the first Mahomes interception in this one as well. He was fine. But that was a big swing moment in this game where he lines up onside, turning a third and 13 into a second and 5 that turns into a touchdown.
Yeah, that was a tough way to start for sure. The other thing you look at with the Niners defense, and just to your point of how well they played, they get the turnover on downs on the first drive, they get an interception, and then a three and out. Cannot start a lot better than that. Then they give up a couple of touchdowns, but the one was a 30-yard touchdown drive because of bad punt coverage, rinse, repeat. Then they go punt, interception, punt, and then they score two touchdowns off of two 49ers interceptions. That, the one of the last plays came on Kansas City's 34, so nearing the red zone, and then Kansas City's 5.
Yep.
And that's where your defense can only do so much. Your offense has to finish those drives. And Kansas City took the ball away and then went and finished those drives to put the game away. And that's the difference. That's why they're in a different class in San Francisco right now. You can get the takeaways all you want, but if you're not converting those into points, or you're immediately giving the ball back, it doesn't matter. So all of that is to say, Mark, I agree with you. I thought their defense was really good today. They complimentary football, right? We talk about it all the time. The Niners offense didn't hold up their end of the bargain, dude.
Can I argue it's not that San Francisco lost this game? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think they were going to win this game, but it's how they lost this game. It's the offense taking a massive step back. It's the red zone regressing to what it was early on this year. It's the turnovers. It's the Brock Purdy interceptions. It's the offensive line not being able to run the football till halfway through the third quarter. It's this no creativity offensively until your star receiver goes out. It's this just very questionable way in which the offense has seemingly found itself playing on a continual basis this year. And then the defense, to me, played winnable football.
Yeah.
And I think, really, whether it was Steve Wilks or Robert Saleh or Nick Sorensen, every time they've played Kansas City, the defense has played winnable football minus two drives late in a game. Yep. Like, San Francisco's defense has, for the most part, been able to hold Mahomes at bay, waiting for the offense to come alive. And the offense never comes alive, or when it gets a lead, then it goes silent. And in this one, San Francisco had, what, a three-point lead and never had it again. It was simply just, oh, we scored early, but can never seem to put back-to-back plays together. You hit a couple home runs here or there, but even then, Purdy underthrows some passes that should have been touchdowns. I don't think it's that San Francisco lost this game that concerns me or bothers me. I think it's how they lost this game. I still have no idea, through 6 weeks or 7 weeks now, who the Niners are. Are you the team that beat Seattle last week or 2 weeks ago on Thursday Night Football prime time? Or are you this team that is turnover prone, can still get takeaways, but the offense can't score continually? I have no idea through half a season now who San Francisco is.
Yeah, no. I don't know if a lot of people in the building know it either. You might have had belief for as long as you can, but you get to a point where you're seven games into the season, you're darn near halfway done, and you're under 500. It's hard to continue to have that belief, and I think that's where the Niners might be, you know, facing that reality at this point. Let's go back out to the phone lines here on Overtime, 888-957-957. Kyle, Sterling, Grandy with you here on 95.7 The Game. Up next is Joel in Anaheim. What's up, Joel? You're on 95.7 The Game. How you feeling after that loss, Joel?
Yes, sir. Can't even disagree with last caller. He mentioned a lot of things I wanted to talk about. This team has no identity. And you know what? At this time of the year, if you have no identity, that's what your identity is. SF28KC18, oh my God, how can you even let that happen? First of all...
Oh, thanks. You can't say that, Joel.
You called it. That's really well done.
You can't say that, Joel.
In the back.
Cam's got it for us in the back, but... Bill Walsh rolling in his grave. I mean, that offense was pretty ugly. Maybe he is 28-18, and I'm sure he's a little upset that the Niners' perfect record in Super Bowls is also snapped by Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah, here's the thing, and this is Sterling hit the nail on the head a little bit ago. This is the problem here. This isn't an isolated performance. Like, this isn't just to this year. This is a. I'm sorry. I super lost my train of thought. Hit the nail on the head, and I don't.
Continual yeah. problem.
Yeah, it's just a real issue. Sorry, guys.
Well, I think really like.
Totally derailed.
What it is simply just that what's happening isn't new. It's the same thing every single week, whether it's week one against the Jets, which they won that game, but it wasn't like a big, oh, you know, like what a dominant win. It was, okay, we're looking pretty good. Week two, you lose against the Vikings. They lost today for the first time, but they're still a seemingly really good team, a great defense so far. Could have won that game for sure. Got a couple takeaways. Then you blow a game against the Rams. Then you blow a game against the Cardinals. Then you beat the Patriots. They're terrible. They suck. I mean, really, San Francisco has no defining win outside of beating Seattle on Thursday Night Football. And some could even argue that Seattle is kind of in the same boat San Francisco is. They pass the ball a ton. They don't run the football. Seattle's trying to find themselves as well, despite winning one more game than San Francisco has. So it's like the problem San Francisco has have been there since this year has begun, and they're not going away no matter how many more games they play. It is a continual, constant issue. Third down, red zone. It doesn't matter what it is. This offense cannot put the ball in the end zone. They scored 18 points. They had 12 points going into the fourth quarter. 12 points with Brock Purdy as the quarterback playing his best ball ever coming into this game, right? Jordan Mason, a second leading rusher in football. Brandon Ayuk, I know, got hurt. You thought you had Debo. You didn't have Debo. Pearsall's back off the injury. No, Juwan Jennings. You still got George Kittle. Like, there are teams that have one weapon that can score more points than 18 against this Chiefs team. The Falcons had this team beat. The Bengals who were terrible to begin the year, had this team beat. Like, come on. Like, this is, it's so frustrating to watch this team. The potential they can reach is still, maybe not this year, but walking into the year with Super Bowl champion. They can do that. And they have played so far below the expectations set by themselves due to their past play. It's almost sickening. It's like, when you watch the game on Sunday, Monday, or Thursday, you're like, do I even want to put myself through this? This could be awesome, but it could also be some of the worst football this team has played since 2020. That's how bad this has been.
Yeah, It has been ugly, and it's at a point where, you know, Kyle Shanahan saying earlier today, post-game, and we're going to hear the full Kyle Shanahan comments a little bit later on, that they fear it's a torn ACL. You're also getting to a point where it feels like a 2020 season just because of all the injuries that you're dealing with as well. I mean, I know you expect McCaffrey back at some point, hopefully, making progress, but it's all kind of uncertain, and we don't really know all the details. If what the Niners are fearing of Ayuk is true, he's done for the season. You've already had games where you missed Kittle. You've had a game where you missed Deebo Samuel. He essentially didn't play today either. Like, this is feeling a little bit like that as well, although, of course, you still have a lot of season ahead of you, and you don't really have a ton of season-ending injuries. You just had a bunch of things that have kind of thwarted your momentum so far this season. So we'll see how that continues to develop. But you are right, Sterling. It does have that 2020 kind of feeling to it, where you tune in on any given Sunday, any given Monday, any given Thursday, and you might just be so disgusted that you don't want to watch the rest of the football game. 888-957-9570. Back out to the phone lines. Up next is Paul in San Jose, who wants to talk about Brock Purdy and the offense. What's up, Paul? You're on overtime. How you doing? Paul, you there?
Hey, Paul.
Paul, going once, going twice. All right, call us back, Paul. 888-957-9570. Up next is Michael in the East Bay. Michael, thanks for holding. How you doing? Michael, you there?
Looking like San Francisco's offense.
What is going on out there? All right, we'll go back to the phones in just a second.
I don't think anything encapsulates this game better than the last four plays on the play-by-play sheet. It is two-point conversion attempt. Brock Purdy pass to Ricky Pearsall is incomplete. Attempt fails. Mitch Wishnowsky kicks onside 4 yards from San Francisco's 35 to 39. Ball declared dead. Patrick Mahomes nails. Patrick Mahomes nails. Ball game over. Those are the last four. Like, that's perfect. It just, the Niners tripping over themselves, failing a two-point conversion, the worst onside kick I've ever seen in my life, and the Chiefs just come on the field and just, okay, here we go, kneel. Okay, this game's over. Goodbye now.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Anytime.
Okay. So, no. 49ers, no, okay, well, this question is for Kyle, not for Sterling. 49ers down 14-6 early in the third quarter. They drive down after the Deomodoro Lenore interception.
Yeah.
Demo, by the way, maybe the best Niner
really,
today.
Really good.
He was
really
awesome. Brock Purdy, the unique quarterback sneak that you were talking about earlier, Kyle, he gets in. Niners make it a two-score game, or a two-point game, sorry, 14-12. It's a two-point game. Can someone answer this question for me? And this is for everybody on the Comcast Business text line, 888-957-9570, our callers as well. Kyle, and I know, Sterling, you refuse my question. I'll let you answer it, though, because I'm a nice guy. Why didn't they go for two? I know that they kicked the extra point and missed it. Even if you could guarantee me a made extra point, why aren't you going for two to tie the game? You're down by two at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The logic says you're probably going to need a two-point conversion at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And the smart move, for my money, the smart move is go for the two-point conversion as early as you possibly can in order to figure out what you need moving forward, right? Like, if you go for two and you don't get it, you're still down by two. Kansas City goes and scores a touchdown. You know you're still going to need to get 2 points anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
If you don't kick the two-point conversion, you just get the extra point, down by one, they go down, score a touchdown, they're up by eight, you need the two-point conversion there anyway, so why not go for the two ASAP to figure out what you need the rest of the game? If you still need two scores, or if you only need one score, that made no sense to me, not going for two, down two.
I'm with you 100%. I'm sure there's somebody who, with math and stuff, that'll tell you, well, 10:39 is too early to do that. But I'm with you, man. Go for two. Go for the two now. They may not. Your defense is playing well. Like, if you tie this, a field goal might put you in a really good spot to try and win this game. Like, that's kind of the thought process I would have. And to your point, go down. You're going to be down 9 if you don't get it, and you're going to know you need 2 scores anyway. Like, you want to know that as early as possible. It's just that's what you laid out. So the reason they didn't do that is because Kyle Shanahan is an old school football coach. He came up in the mud of the 90s 49ers and the early late 90s Broncos with Mike Shanahan. And the thought process is, well, you kick the extra point here because then you can tie it with a 2-point conversion. He's basically playing for overtime. Like, that's what you're just extending the game as much as possible.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying.
It's silly.
You say you're going to tie it with a 2-point conversion. Then do the 2-point conversion now. That essentially still ties the game. That ties it right now.
We're sitting out here and they score, and we were like, they got to go for 2. And you went, I don't think he's going to go.
Well, no, you asked me, odds Kyle Shanahan kicks the extra point here. And I was like, even for Kyle, I don't know. And then they tried out the extra point unit, and then he misses it.
The football gods punished them for that.
That's exactly right.
Crazy.
Which, I'm not going to crush Kyle for...
Do it.
He has his third kicker this year, right? Right, he's Anders Carlson, who essentially gave them the game against the Packers in the playoffs last year. Mark, you would know me yelling some thing to the TV. We're not going to repeat on the air right now. But like his third kicker, after he watches kickers get hurt in back-to-back weeks, Moody and Wright both go down. And like, I get it. You want to take the points. I get the train of thought. But I know, Kyle, you said it was silly. It's not silly. It's stupid. Just take the points. Like why is there this continual, well, you know, once we get into overtime, then I'll really pull this out of the bag. Or later in the game, when I hope I can get into the red zone, which is no promise against the Chiefs defense, as you saw in this game, why would you even risk that? Great teams. Hell, the Chiefs in this one went for a fake punt on their own side of the field on the very first drive of the game. Oh, that's too early for that. If it's too early for a 2-point conversion to tie a game up, it's not too early for a fake punt on your own side of the field? Like, the Chiefs in this game were going for the kill early. They wanted to score points to put San Francisco on their heels, knowing San Francisco's offense has not been playing their best football. And when they get to the red zone, it's whatever happens, happens. It is a nightmare for San Francisco's offense. But why? Every year we get this same conversation. In the Super Bowl last year, kick the field goal, take the points. No, go for the touchdown, man. Why do you even want to risk Mahomes getting on the field? And you watch Mahomes and Kelce in that game like, did they go for a field goal? Wow, we have a chance to win. Like, at that point in time, why are you playing? Oh, for a field goal. What do field goals win you? Nothing. And with this team, field goals aren't even promised. And with your third string kicker, hell, that guy's not even good. And you want to risk a PAT for a point that actually is not even going to matter when it's all said and done? Just be aggressive. I'd rather this team go for every fourth down the entire game than risk trotting out a third string kicker. I hate it.
He made a 55-yarder, though. First points of the game.
Smoked it. Just drilled it. It
botched the 13-yarder he had later.
What's crazy is if Matthew Wright does not get hurt Thursday in Seattle, the Niners don't attempt that 55-yard field goal attempt because Matthew Wright does not have the leg.
Yeah.
And then Carlson made it.
Yeah. And then missed the extra point.
Which gave Shanahan false hope he'd make the PAT.
Oh, God.
I asked this on the internet, and it's only part facetious. Given their punt coverage issues, I feel like anything outside of their own, like, 35, fourth and two or shorter, I'm just going for it.
Yeah.
Especially when you have your weapons. Like, maybe it's a little different in, like, the second half today.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, if you got Kittle and Debo and Ayuk, yeah, why not?
Yeah. Well, and I would love to say that this is isolated to today, but no, even when they've been healthy, that's been a Kyle Shanahan problem.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
It's just the lack of aggressiveness with all those dudes. Go for two every time. Not every time. That's crazy. But in that spot, to me, you have to go for two. You have to tie the game. You have all the momentum. And even if you kick the extra point, like, you're still down. So go for two. You don't get it, whatever. But you do get it, and all of a sudden the entire complexion of the game changes.
Yeah.
And instead they doink the extra point.
There was one moment, I'm trying to find where it was, where the Niners had a fourth and one, or a fourth and short, and we were thinking maybe they think about going for it. They don't. They punt the ball away. Mm-hmm. Mitch Wishnowsky, an awesome punt. They down it, I think, around the 10 or something mm-hmm. like that.
Eight.
Defense forces a three and out. They get the ball back near midfield. So you and I was debating in that moment, I want my offense to go for it there. It's fourth and short. You're playing against the Super Bowl, the two-time defending champs. Be aggressive. Get a first down. But Shanahan decided to punt, put the faith in his defense. In that moment, it turned out to be the right decision, I suppose, because you got a three and out, and you got the ball right back, and you actually gained a few yards on the exchange. Mm-hmm. So I can get some of those moments. However, just because one way worked doesn't mean necessarily that the other way wouldn't have worked. If you go for it on fourth and short and you get the first down, that's better than giving the ball back to Mahomes no matter what happens. So there is a give and take here, and I get it, but I think there is also a lot of the blame in this one that goes to Kyle Shanahan, not just on decisions and whether he goes for it or not, or he goes for the two-point conversion or not, but we also got to talk about the offense and just general lack of creativity. I mean, 888-957-9570, we got to hit a quick break, but when was the last time any of you Niner fans out there went, wow, what a play drawn up by Kyle Shanahan, man. That was amazing. I haven't felt that in a really long time. We can talk about that coming up on the other side as well. Plus, we'll go back out to the phone lines. I see you, Rob. I see you, Joe, and more. It's overtime here on 95.7 The Game. The Niners fall to the Chiefs 28-18. Grandy, Kyle, Sterling with you. More OT next on 95.7 The Game.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.